All right, it is time for a Tuesday Locked On Syracuse podcast. Got some shuffling on the offensive line. We want to get into our thoughts on that, plus your Twitter thoughts today. It's a jam-packed episode. We dive into it right now.
You are Locked On Syracuse, your daily podcast on the Syracuse Orange, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome on in. Tuesday episode. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Tim Leonard, Tyler Rocky. Also, check us out on YouTube if you want to watch our ugly faces there. We're always there every single weekday streaming the episodes. Been a little bit delayed this week, but trying to get them out in the early afternoon or kind of lunchtime hour. And we're always tweeted out. So if you want to just put us on tweet notifications, you'll get the reminder when the live stream is going
YouTube
out.
YouTube notifications, too. When you subscribe, you can get YouTube notifications. So go ahead and do that, because I feel like that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, it's amazing. The 21st century, just notifications all over the place. It's, you know what's weird, though? I spent pretty much my entire morning trying to fax something. So that set me back about 20 years. I still couldn't figure it out. I short story, I got summoned to jury duty and I have moved. So the place that summoned me is like an hour and a half away. So I'm trying to establish that I shouldn't have been.
I don't know if you're going to be able to weasel your way out of that one. 90 minutes, I think. I don't know if you have a case there.
Well, they told me if you're not a resident in Wake County, North Carolina, the place where I used to live, then, you know, I am not eligible. So I'm trying to establish that. Right. And I have to send a fax or I have to do a handwritten letter. Like, why can't I just type an email? It's the 21st century. Can I get on the phone?
Are they going to make
someone?
You do it in cursive too? Like, talk about the most useless thing I ever learned in all my years of school.
Yes.
Cursive. Gosh. Like, if you send it in print, Tim, you're going to have to go haul your ass up to Wake County and do this jury duty. But if it's in cursive, all right, you're good to go.
Right. Exactly. That was, I think, fourth grade for me. I don't know about you, but it was like,
I think it was about the same.
We're cursive this year. Get ready for that. So anyway, we're going to dive into some ACC rankings on tomorrow's podcast. And that's a reminder that if you are interested in where Syracuse stacks up in the ACC, there is no better place to get all of your ACC conference news than the Locked On ACC podcast. That's hosted by Candace Hooper. You can follow the Locked On ACC podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts, just like this one. And they're there with you every single weekday as well. That's how we do it on the Locked On Podcast Network. But today, Ty, offensive line. We had Aaron Service go back to the center position again that last game. And I kind of like that. I kind of like seeing Aaron Service there. That was something I advocated for in the preseason. It was good to see. I think the right side of the line is still very much a question mark with Dakota Davis working his way back from injury, but I'd like to see they're shuffling things up.
I think it's the right move here. You want veterans at some certain spots, right? Like left tackle, although Matthew Bergeron has done a pretty good job thus far, you usually want a really good player at your left tackle spot. You want a really good player at your center spot, a veteran player at the center spot. Aaron Service is a sixth-year guy. He knows how to bark out the different blocking protections and all that stuff. And that's what you want out of a guy who's a six-year guy. I don't know if you're going to get that same sort of thing out of Carlos Vettorello. And it's weird because they're flipping back to their original positions. Like Aaron Service was a center for pretty much the first 3 years he was at Syracuse. There were a handful of games where he moved to tackle. And then once he kicked out to tackle, he was pretty much been there ever since and has really struggled. But if you remember on that 2018 team, that's the best offensive line Dino Babers has had. And it featured Aaron Service at center. So I think this could be a good thing moving him back.
Yeah, and it's not the only reason why they've struggled moving him to tackle. I mean, they did have Chris Elmore playing left guard last year, who was actually decent compared to some of the other offensive linemen, as we talked about. But yeah, Aaron Service hasn't ever really been good at the right tackle position. Last year, he was definitely hurt. And he was playing through injury and there were some excuses to be had there, but he was not good. And he hasn't really been all that good this year at right tackle. So you bring him back into the middle for Albany. You work through some kinks. Like he had one snap go over the side of Schrader's face all the way back like 20 yards. I think the next play was a touchdown or something on a 3rd and 28. And that's just an example.
Yeah. That was the Sean Tucker screenplay.
Yeah. It might not have been a touchdown, but it was like, 3rd and 28. We're dead in a normal game, but we'll just throw it to Sean Tucker and he's got like daylight to run through. And it somehow was a big play after that. So normally that would really kill you, but you work through some of those kinks. It seems like Service, he's on the depth chart at center. So we'll see him there going forward. The question mark for me really is just what are they going to do with the rest of that right side? Because we saw Vettorello play some at the right tackle spot. We saw Tisdale play tackle and guard. I don't like what I've seen from Tisdale so far. The stats kind of back me up that he's allowed the most pressures out of that group. I would like to see Davis replace Tisdale, and Dakota Davis did play 35 snaps last game, but it seems like he's still kind of working his way back in.
And it felt like, again, this is kind of getting back to what we said going into the game. You want to treat it like a preseason game. And I think Dino did a pretty good job of managing that from a playing time standpoint, ramping Dakota Davis back up, getting some of his football conditioning back to where it used to be. So now you're hoping for Liberty. He can give you a little bit more, maybe give you three quarters of the game, maybe even the full game if he's up for it. So you're going to need an improved right side. And I think the shuffling of putting Vettorello at the right tackle spot and also hopefully getting Davis back to full health, that should, I'm not going to say solidify, okay? Because at the end of the day, you're building up something that's broken, and I don't think you've got all the tools necessary to do so. But I think it will. You will see some sort of improvement. And if you see improvement on the right side, left side, if you see improvement across the offensive line, that's just going to make the quarterback's job easier.
Exactly. And this was Dino's quote, by the way. He said, "We were glad that Dakota Davis got 35 snaps in last week. We hope that he can get more this week and hopefully build him up to a level where he can play an entire game." It took him some time last year. He's been a guy in and out of the lineup. He's had to work on coming back, had to worry about his conditioning when they bring him back several different times, it feels like, in the past couple of years. But when he's out there, he's really good. And when he's healthy, he's good. So if you have him healthy at some point this season, this offensive line could get to the point where it's maybe like a slight notch below respectable, like at least decent, because the left side I feel really pretty good about overall, with Bergeron over there looking good. And Chris Bleich has been, I wouldn't say great, but at least serviceable in that left guard
spot. It's better than last year, right?
Yeah, like, the right side is the issue.
This team cannot be worse than it was a season ago at two positions, quarterback and the entirety of the offensive line, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think so far we've kind of seen that is true. Offensive line has gotten better. It hasn't been great, but it's gotten better. Quarterback position hasn't been great, but it's certainly gotten better. You've already eclipsed your win total from a season ago, so all of that kind of goes hand in hand. And when you have this offensive line, we saw it at points last season, towards the end of the year, last season and even the season beforehand, you saw the sack numbers go down once there's some continuity. There may be a little bit of a growing pain period these next couple of weeks of getting all these guys to mesh because, again, offensive lines work as a unit. They don't work as, oh, this guy's played three games, this guy's played five, this guy's played four. No, you need these guys together because there's a lot of continuity that goes within this entire unit.
Yeah, and the other thing to mention here, and I know this is kind of pouring some salt in the wound or whatever, but they've looked good in the Ohio and Albany games. They looked against Rutgers, and Rutgers was really the only game that you could look bad out of those three. I mean, it'd be really concerning if you looked bad against Albany or Ohio. So we'll see what they got against Liberty. It's kind of like litmus test round two this week, and we'll definitely have a lot more on Liberty and how their defensive line shakes out and all that. But let's take a quick break before we get into your Twitter thoughts. Want to remind college football fanatics that Prize Picks is out there now. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you guys will too. A lot of my friends have been raving about it. It's fun because you can bet on college sports, do some daily fantasy over-unders on college sports. It's pretty much the only place out there that you can do that. You can do over-unders on different sports, like maybe take the over on Brady combined with the under on DeVito or something like that. Or maybe if you're feeling optimistic for Syracuse, take the over on DeVito or an over on Garrett Schrader if you're a Garrett Schrader guy, because we know there are some Garrett Schrader guys out there. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world and offers all the star players of the Power Five as well as mid-major players you might not have even heard of. Prize Picks is an app that you can download today. You pick 2 to 5 players and over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's just you versus the projected numbers. And don't forget about our promo code that is Locked On. It will get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 when you enter our promo code Locked On. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your app store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy.
Also want to tell you about rockauto.com because this episode is brought to you by the fine folks at rockauto.com. When you've got the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is impossible for local chain auto parts stores to stock all the parts that you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? You don't know the answer to that sort of stuff. And then wait while the person behind the counter orders parts on their computer with only the brands that their warehouse happens to carry. You've got computers and a phone with access to rockauto.com. So save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and the prices are reliably low for every single customer. So go to their website, easy to use, super simple, idiot-proof, and you will find all the solution to your auto part needs. And when you go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Hey, winter's coming up. You got to get that car ready for the upcoming winters, especially the Syracuse folk. You know what I'm talking about. Winter's not fun with the car. So go to rockauto.com, write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Okay, one of my favorite parts of the week, where we get into some Twitter thoughts here, and we got some good ones as always. Shout out to all our loyal listeners who tweeted us. We love tweeting with you guys during the game, even though some of you are probably going against our takes. That's the fun of it. That's the fun of sports, going back
banter.
And forth.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I love it.
That's why we
I mean,
part of it.
Listen, you and I don't always agree. Us and the Twitter folk don't always agree. It's fine. It's fine.
Right.
This is a world of many, many viewpoints and many opinions, okay? And Syracuse football is just a small little speckle in the giant chasm of opinion of the opinionated world.
Yep. So let's start out with this. The poll we put out right at the end of the game, I think you put this out. It was basically who should start a quarterback. We probably could do this every week, and we have done it most weeks. But the update on the results here, and remember, Dino said after this game he was going to decide. He still hasn't formally said something because he's got to review the film, I guess. But Tommy DeVito, 46% is the leader. Garrett Schrader, 30%. And then the other 24% fell under doesn't matter, which I guess is just them looking at it and saying, man, both these guys stink. I'd rather see Jacoby and Morgan, which we got some funny responses. A couple people shouting out.
I love the Jacoby and Morgan crowd. Like, listen.
Yeah.
And we've gotten some YouTube comments as well, some Twitter comments. Jacoby and Morgan did not move the ball last year. Nobody moved the ball last year. Okay, the offense was dreadful. There's a reason it was outside like the top 120 of 130 teams last season. Okay, nobody could move the ball last year. And it was not only the quarterback's fault, a lot of it was the offensive line as well. But to think that Jacoby and Morgan or Clayton Welch or Rex Culpepper, any of those guys had success last year is incorrect.
Right. So here's just real quick, some funny responses to shout out. Q's Fanatic said it's a choice between PBR and Milwaukee's best for the quarterback, which really made me laugh. I guess Natty Light just missed the cut there. Maybe.
Bush is very angry right now that it wasn't put into consideration there. What would you go with? Are you a Natty Light? Are you Bush? What is your cheap beer of choice?
I go PBR.
I'm with you.
You know,
suck
it up. Give
me a little of the red stripe. Yeah, blue ribbon. Yep,
yeah.
Let's do it.
Why not? And then another funny one was, imagine Schrader having 5 years in the system, just a subtle dig at DeVito there, I guess, which is true. I mean, the bottom line is, yes, like, if Garrett Schrader was in Tommy DeVito's position, he probably would be the guy, but we're evaluating just this year only. Another one, cut the penalties. QB is useless with so many flags. Officials will have to ice their arms after this game. And that came from Dave. Tyler was the one who said, imagine Schrader having 5 years in this system. So some funny
Not
responses.
Me, Tyler.
We always appreciate
Not me. Other Tyler.
Right. Other Tyler. Yes. I should establish that.
Here's where I still stand at. It doesn't matter who's going to be back there at the end of the day. I think Tommy DeVito probably gives you the better chance to win, but I think you're splitting hairs to a certain degree because, okay, let's just run down a quick little checkbox here. Do you trust the head coach?
No.
Do you trust the offensive line? All right. So we're done here.
Probably not. Yeah.
Do you trust the exterior weapons at receiver and tight
end?
Well,
the other thing is like, I guess if I had to pick two, I would pick doesn't matter, but
Yeah.
It doesn't take away that you still need to pick one of the guys, right? Like you're right. Still,
no, you do. And like, right. You can't go back there with no one back there. But right. I think that when you have a choice here, the choice is DeVito, but at the end of the day, he's not going to elevate this offense to a certain degree that's going to be so much more significant. I think at the end of the day, both of these quarterbacks probably cap your potential at 4 wins.
Yeah. And look, I don't think the quarterback play has been good this year, but I would say the wide receiver play has been maybe a D. I mean, a D-.
It's the worst. Like, would you say it's the worst unit on the offense if you look at receivers, running backs, offensive line, quarterback?
I mean, it's definitely not running backs. Running backs has the cake back there for number one. I would say
quarterback, you're deep enough to say where it's not quarterback.
Yeah, I would probably rank them running backs, quarterback, and then maybe wide receiver, just because you do have Taj. You missed the last game, but Taj, you got an all-ACC guy there. You don't have anyone on the offensive line that is going to get accolades like that. Maybe Bergeron, if he continues to put up numbers. I think they're both pretty good players, but
I want to see Bergeron against some good pass rushers, though. Because what did we talk about with Rutgers? They were a team that prided itself on rushing with linebackers and interior defensive linemen. So he hasn't had to go up against any sort of all world or even semi good edge rusher yet. I want to see that. Right. I want to see him take on that challenge.
So a couple of shorter thoughts. Shout out to Kyle at KD Racing 15. He said, DeVito starts, use Garrett for momentum change or red zone attack. He did get better as the game went on. I think he's talking about Schrader there. DeVito showed some unlikely grit, making throws and taking hits. We need to be run first. Line still needs work and cut the penalties or nothing will matter. I would say I'm pretty much in lockstep with that.
I was going to say that is 100% the perfect way to lay it out, right? Because it's pretty much what Syracuse had a couple of years ago, when they had Dungy and you had the backup option with DeVito where, okay, things start to go south. What do? You go to the kid and see what he can do. See if he can change the momentum of the game. I think Tommy DeVito, you have to roll him out there right now. You have to keep him as a starting quarterback for now. But just know that if it's the third quarter, if it's late in the third, early in the fourth, and you still have 7-10 points on the board, Dino should be able to go to the bullpen at any given point because it should. That's just the way it has to go. There needs to be competition.
Yeah. And another Kyle, the guy, I can't pronounce his last name, so I apologize to him, or I'm not going to try and butcher it, but he's the one that was attacking you for dying on the Tommy DeVito hill as well. He also
said, the Tommy DeVito hill. Right. No one's dying on the Tommy DeVito hill. It's two bad options. One's exactly. Just worse than the other.
Right.
Do I want poop boxed up? That's what you're working with here.
Well, I don't know if it's that bad. I mean, that's pretty awful. But no, I hear you. It's two bad options, unfortunately. And I guess that's why we are getting some Jacoby and Morgan talk out there. I would have liked to have at least seen Morgan in the game or Lampson, but at the same time, this is for Schrader too.
I mean, Morgan did come in. I think all he did was hand the ball off, but.
Okay, yeah. See, I just missed that probably. But all right, Kyle's thought, he said, and this was during the game, he said the last TD shows how you can use Schrader. I'm assuming it was maybe the read option one or one of Schrader's rushing TDs. Yes. But he said, we've been god-awful in the red zone the past two seasons. If DeVito starts and plays most of the minutes, it'll be smart to create some red zone packages for Schrader, a la Tim Tebow in Florida's first title season. Maybe some jump passes in there as well. I think that's a little bit of a stretch.
I don't think Garrett Schrader can execute a jump pass. I don't know if he can do that. I don't know if that's in the
arsenal. A little bit of a stretch comparison, but I agree with that point for the most part. Why not throw out Garrett Schrader? I don't like two quarterback system. I'm not totally against the idea of using a bigger body, different look, like almost kind of like, I know we always talk about the Bears on here, but Justin Fields came in that first game for like a couple plays and
Trey Lance,
he ran one in.
Niners.
Yeah. Like I'm not against that.
Listen, I think there is a role for Garrett Schrader on this team. The role just isn't starting quarterback. The role is he has specific plays where if you want to get him outside the pocket and cut the field in half for him, he can be effective. But when you turn him into a pocket passer, he gets reckless and you don't know where that ball is going. Okay. You just simply don't. And when he's getting hit, it's even worse. So if you can get him outside the pocket on the run, maybe even some designed runs as well, then you've got something. Then there's something you can work with. Third and shorts, he might be the guy to go to. But if you want him out there for full drives, I don't think that's the right way to go.
All right, guys, friendly reminder, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Go over to betonline.ag. You can search it on your mobile device. It's totally free to sign up. Got an updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests. It continues to be the number one spot for everything football. Head to the website on that mobile device or on a laptop. Sign up today. And when you sign up, don't forget to use that promo code NFL100. That'll double your initial deposit. You can also receive a 100% welcome bonus when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. They got football, basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games are on there. It is all at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. Just go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Looking at betonline.ag right now, an early look at where the Syracuse line is here against Liberty. I'm seeing Cuse plus six, which, I don't know, what was your reaction to that? A little bit surprising, maybe?
A little surprised. Liberty's look good. Liberty's look really good. Malik Willis has been fantastic so far. He's got 11 touchdowns, no turnovers, 11 total touchdowns, seven through the air, four on the ground. He's running the ball well. He's moving the offense. I think they've put up close to 40 points in every single game thus far. Yeah. So they haven't really played anyone. This is their first real test. But again, this is a team that, kind of like what Rutgers was, it was a litmus test. And you're going to see once again, what is this litmus test going to bring for Syracuse? Because they are going to need to move the ball. You might have to get into a shootout. Do you trust Syracuse in a shootout? Because I don't.
No.
I don't. Like, not one bit.
Right. Maybe a little bit more against a Liberty. I mean, it's not like Liberty's defense scares me a ton, but they ran the ball all over us last year. Like, they're going to put up points. And I know our defense has been good, but Willis is still there, and he's still a playmaker back there. Like, with his legs, with his feet, he's a tough guy to control. I'm seeing over-under on betonline.eg is 53 right now. If I were to guess, and this is something maybe we can get into.
Bump up.
Yeah, I think that would go up, and I think it might be – I might hold off if you like Cuse right now at plus six. Like,
yeah.
Maybe that gets to a touchdown, right?
I definitely think. I listen, when I saw it, I was surprised it was only six. I get that Syracuse is the home team here, but
yeah.
I would have guessed that they would have been more like 10. I really do. Like, I this is a game that I really think is tailored for Liberty to come in and do some damage, because with the run defense, again, this is the first real playmaker Syracuse has seen offensively on the other side of the ball. And
yeah, right.
Like, Malik Willis
has some playmakers on every receiver, but I think you're right. Willis is in a different category. We're talking about a guy.
Willis is a guy who's like Heisman level conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, this is the caliber of player you're working with. If he were at his previous school, Auburn, I mean, you think Auburn wouldn't like to have him right now?
Yeah, that's true.
Or Bo Nix, take your pick. I don't think it's much of a contest.
Maybe they would have thrown a fade at the end of the game there. That was getting some heat, I think, I saw. But yeah, I think if anything, this line gets to Syracuse maybe at a 7-point home dog, I would say, when it settles sort of around the Friday. And another thing to mention here is, look, we talked about the offensive line. They're shuffling things around. It's a big litmus test game for them. That's going to be a big part of whether Syracuse wins or loses this game, is how the offensive line performs. The tight end position, that's a big part of our pass protection, run protection. And you're without Luke Benson, maybe. I mean, he left that game. It seems like he got an MRI on his knee. Don't exactly know what his status is. We probably won't know until the game happens. But let's say he's out, which I think is a decent shot right now. Then you're looking at Max Mang and then Stephen Maharis to step in. I like Stephen Maharis' future. I don't know if I like him as our second tight end in this game against Liberty. Like, then they might be looking at four or five wide receiver sets a little bit more, and Tommy DeVito running for his life a little bit more because they don't have as much protection there.
I think you got to go with Mang because he's obviously the blocking presence, and you take your lumps there, because at the end of the day, Liberty is going to look at that Rutgers game, right? Where they realize, okay, we only have to rush four guys and we're going to get to the quarterback.
Right. And in that Rutgers game, they went to four or five wideout sets a lot more. And I don't really know why they did that. So they're probably going to do it again here. And my concern is just protecting DeVito without, I mean, we don't know what Chris Elmore's status is. Maybe this is a game he comes back, but it'd be nice to have Landon Morris right now. Like, that tight end line is looking pretty thin at the moment.
And it kind of gets down to, remember the quote that everyone made a big deal about on Monday Night Football a couple of years ago when Sam Darnold went and said he was seeing ghosts? Like,
right.
That is what I'm sure Tommy and Garrett are seeing right now, because they're getting four pressures and then there's just guys coming out of nowhere in the defensive secondary, because you can drop back the remaining seven guys in coverage and you've got guys everywhere because you know you're going to get to the quarterback with four. And that's the problem with the offensive line and why they need to step up. They need these other guys to bring pressure. They need to get Liberty blitzing, because if they're not blitzing,
right,
this is going to be another long day of incompletions, inefficient offense, and a lot of head scratching.
And I'm talking about pass protection, heck, run protection as well. That's so much of what we're trying to do. If we can't establish the run in this game, forget about it. I mean, that is priority number one for every Syracuse game this season probably is, all right, let's get Sean Tucker going. Let's get the run game going. Because as we saw against Rutgers, without a run game, DeVito's just back there throwing the ball out of bounds and looking nowhere and getting no separation from his wide receivers. Because the wide receivers and the pass catchers out there aren't good enough to – I mean, if you've established defensively that you've shut down Syracuse's run game and you can kind of key in on the pass, it's not hard to stop us. A lot of teams have proven that so far.
Absolutely. So. And one of the other things I saw on Twitter that I actually found kind of funny, and it was like, I found it funny. I don't think anyone else probably found it funny, but it was Stephen Bailey tweeting out the depth chart. And one of, I believe he's a listener of the show, NC Orange Man, he tweets at us from time to time.
Okay.
He tweets at Bailey, Benson listed at tight end. Interesting. And I just laughed at it because I thought, oh, like that's a dig at the fact that they don't actually use the tight end. And then I remembered, oh, wait, that's right. Like, he got injured in the last
hurt.
Game.
Yeah.
He's hurt. Right. So why doesn't he have the OR designation? But no, I guess that whole song and dance is the fact that since there is no finality on what his injury is, he may or may not play. It's weird. They don't give out the injury reports in college, which is kind of frustrating. But
no.
But
it's,
so.
And it's Dino, too. Like, I mean, there's, I'm not saying we've been fine injury wise, especially compared to, knock on wood, I guess I should do, because compared to the last couple years, that has been a huge, huge problem for us. But you still got Garrett Williams, who's kind of dealing with that hamstring thing. I would guess he plays, and Dino's talked about that he's been tough and he'll probably be out there.
Big game.
I don't know. I mean, Jahad Carter's been banged up. Like, there are a couple guys that Syracuse
Taj
isn't
didn't
in
play last game.
Right. Yep. Taj is in the category of Garrett Williams. Like, it's almost like when you see the questionable on a star player that's in your fantasy lineup, you know, they're going to be out there in some capacity.
Right. And it's Taj, like how Brady's on the injury report every week. He's on the injury report every week as a questionable guy.
Neck soreness or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, as we get further into the week, it'd be nice to learn about these injuries. But as it stands right now, I think the tight end position might be overlooked, how important that is for protection of running and passing, that could play an influence on the game. Not because I know they don't use the tight ends, but they do use them for protection. And that's obviously very important for us.
Which makes me a little less concerned about the Benson injury, because I've liked what I've seen out of Mang as a blocker so far. And if you're not going to use him in pass catching, I know he got his two little apples in the beginning of the game because, I mean, right. Dino likes to tease us like that and use the tight end. What did they? Didn't they throw to the tight end like three of the first four passes or something like that to open up the game?
Yeah, then he got hurt.
And, right. Yeah. And Dino's like, yep, now you guys see why I don't do it. No, he didn't actually say that. But it's one of those things where, okay, as long as you can block well, I don't care if you are going to run routes, because this is a tight end position that is utilized in blocking schemes, not in passing schemes. So
yeah,
as long as
they
Mang
still
can
should
block,
utilize Benson more.
Yeah, no, I'm not excusing because
we're not
right.
Expecting it. Yeah,
the design of it and the ideology behind it isn't right. But if how it works within the offense is that, okay, he's only going to be a blocker, then okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, and Luke Benson hasn't been that good of a blocker really either, and he's had some penalties there. So it's, I mean, I'm not trying to say it's a huge factor, but it's something that we should be monitoring, and it'll be interesting to see if they go to more four wide receiver sets in this game. But all right, that's going to wrap our Tuesday podcast. We'll be back tomorrow, going to do some midweek ACC power rankings, where Syracuse sticks up in the ACC. Are they ahead of Florida State? I would say yes, after what we've seen from them so far. Duke, Georgia
I don't think
Tech.
They're ahead of Florida State. Florida State's behind them.
Yeah, that's a better way of putting it, probably. That is a dumpster fire out there in Tallahassee. But we'll get into where Syracuse ranks, and then we're going to talk some basketball stuff, maybe some basketball recruiting updates. And also, there's been some interesting comments and tweets this week, a couple things about Buddy Boeheim in the news, some stuff about Cole
Deacon
Swider.
Skiff's newest ambassador.
Yes, that was awesome. For anyone that hasn't seen that commercial, check it out. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow on the show as well. But if you're a basketball fan, we'll try and shoot for maybe Wednesday episodes to give you some basketball content as well going forward. And of course, there will be a bye week in here too. I'm sure we'll get into some recruiting stuff as well. But that'll wrap up the Tuesday episode. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.